United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Bruce Castle presiding. All who have business before this court are on the air, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and the Honorable.
Thank you. Good morning, I'm Chief Judge Castle. To my right is Judge Hagel, to my left is Judge Mormon. We're here today in the matter of Kadiha Alameen, docket number 10-3031. Counsel for the parties, please note your appearance for the record.
Mark Tatar with Martell Coburn for Ms. Alameen.
Thank you.
Dustin Elias for the Secretary.
Michelle Hall for the Secretary.
Thank you. Are both parties ready to proceed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Each party will be given 30 minutes to present the argument. Counsel for the appellant, do you wish to reserve a portion of your time for rebuttal?
I wish to reserve 10 minutes, Your Honor.
All right, you have it, and you may proceed.
Chief Judge Castle, and may it please the court. Martin Tataro of Mullah Lampkin for Kadiha Alameen. Khalil Alameen served honorably in Vietnam, earned a Purple Heart, faced extreme levels of stress during his time in combat, and was consistently diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and alcohol abuse since the late 1980s. This case concerns whether Mr. Alameen's service-connected PTSD aggravated his alcohol abuse, which resulted in the cirrhosis that killed him. If Mr. Alameen's PTSD did aggravate his alcohol abuse, then Mrs. Alameen is entitled to benefits. The Board of Veterans Appeals concluded that Mrs. Alameen,
On what basis do you say that she'd be entitled to benefits if there was aggravation?
Under this court's decision in Allen versus Brown, if the PTSD aggravate, which is service-connected, aggravated the alcohol abuse that led to the cirrhosis that killed him, then the alcohol abuse would be considered service-connected and she would therefore be entitled to benefits.
Was that a case involving service connection for the death of a veteran?
No, Your Honor.
That was just a veteran who was seeking an increase or disability benefits for the degree of aggravation.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe.
Isn't that a lot different than somebody who's trying to see whether or not something that is service-connected caused their death or contributed to their death materially?
Chief Judge Castle, I believe the inquiry is the same, and the inquiry is whether the particular disability
is service-connected. Well, I just want to get this down. So if you're a veteran and you had a disease that was not service-connected on its own right, but was aggravated to a degree of 10%, by a service-connected disability, you could get service connection for the 10% of the aggravation. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, that's the case. That's the Allen case you cite.
Correct, Your Honor.
All right. How do you say it's exactly the same as somebody who's seeking service connection for the death of a veteran when there's an added element as to whether or not that aggravation of 10% materially caused the death of the veteran? Don't you have a big hoop to go through?
Your Honor, under 38 U.S.C. 1310A, when any veteran dies from a service-connected or compensable disability, quote, the Secretary shall pay dependency and indemnity compensation to such veteran's surviving spouse. And Allen teaches us that whether something is service-connected, if a non-service-connected disability is aggravated by a service-connected disability, then it will be construed as service-connected.
And we can see so do you think Allen stands for that proposition?
Yes, Your Honor. On page 448 of Allen, it says, when aggravation of a veteran's non-service-connected condition is proximately due or the result of a service-connected condition, he is entitled to service connection and the resulting benefits. And so, Your Honor,
but you still have to establish that whatever that service connection was, the 10% increase in aggravation was materially contributed to the death, do you not?
Your Honor,
you just think it's automatic?
No, I think there would be a contribution factor, yes, under 38 CFR 3.3.
So when the doctor in this case says there's no relation, what evidence do you have to support a theory that any type of aggravation, if there was any, since there's no relation here, materially contributed to the death?
Your Honor, the doctor did say there was no relation, but that was a clear error. And the board relying on that statement was also clear error. The board stated that, quote, there is no medical evidence of record that contradicts the opinion of the examiner. But indeed, there are several documents in the record that directly contradict the examiner's opinion. Turning first to the record on pages 978 to 979. This is the August 1998 rehabilitation treatment summary from a Dallas hospital signed by staff psychologist Dr. Reagan Andrews. And it quotes, Mr. Elamine identified his use of alcohol as problematic and attended a series of didactic classes designed to assist him in gaining control over his urges to imbibe and partake of intoxication. And here's the key passage, in dealing with his symptoms of depression and post-traumatic stress disorder.
So is that a doctor relating what he was told? You just said that. I thought you started that sentence out with that was what the patient was telling the doctor.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. So it's not a doctor's opinion.
It's not a doctor's opinion, but under 38 USC 5107B, lay evidence should be considered as well. And that also is directly from the...
Well, I think your client is making that argument, is he not? Isn't he saying that he thinks it was that?
I'm sorry, I don't think I understand.
Your client is saying he thinks that the PTSD aggravated his drinking, which was the cause of his death.
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. And that's further supported by the record on page 860 of the record. And this is Mr. Elamine's November 1999 statement in support of his claim. Quote, I have self-medicated with alcohol to try to block out Vietnam-related feelings, thoughts, nightmares, or to get to sleep. Further again, on page 815 of the record, this is the June 2000 RO rating decision. Quote, the veteran reported PTSD experiences every day. The veteran's sleep was poor, as was his insight and judgment. The prognosis was shown as fair, and here are the key passages. However, the veteran remains a chronic risk of poor judgment due to the history of alcohol abuse. And the very next sentence states, the medical evidence of record is consistent with the 70% evaluation of post-traumatic stress disorder.
All right, but none of that is a medical opinion saying that his PTSD aggravated his alcoholism.
Your Honor, PTSD itself does not...
I mean, I think what you're saying, I thought you said that the doctor, you, standing here before us, saying that the doctor is clearly erroneous because the veteran in this case had a belief that his PTSD aggravated his alcohol. And you cited several sites, none of which was a doctor's opinion, from what I just heard you say. So there's no other medical evidence, which is what I thought you said the secretary had said, and what you just read doesn't refute that.
Your Honor, PTSD in and of itself does not need medical evidence to be proven under 38 CFR 3.304F. It can be proven by lay testimony.
So I understand that, but I thought you were saying that you were standing before us and saying that the doctor was clearly erroneous.
Yes, Your Honor.
Based on the lay statements of the veteran.
First, based on the lay statements of the veteran, but there's also other evidence in the record. For example, pages 1437 to 1439 of the record. This is the 1989 VA psychiatric evaluation, and this is Dr. Buford. He states that the purpose of his evaluation is to, quote, consider service connection claim for PTSD. It then discusses how Mr. Elamine drank heavily to try to sleep, and then the evaluation states post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic, mild to moderate, and that's what he diagnosed.
But did you say that the PTSD was aggravating the alcoholism?
He did not say that expressly, Your Honor, but it seems like there's a natural inference from the record.
But this doctor didn't take that natural inference, and you're suggesting that based on that natural inference that you see, we should find that this doctor is clearly erroneous.
Yes, Your Honor. The board was under an obligation under 38 CFR 3.303A. Determinations as to service connection, which is what is at issue here, will be based on a review of the entire evidence of the record, with due consideration to the policy of the Department of Veterans Affairs to, quote, administer the law under a broad and liberal interpretation consistent with the facts of the case. Moreover, the VA examiner is not entitled to any natural inferences in his favor. This court has clearly stated on numerous occasions that the VA examiner, when the secretary decides to have a VA examination, that examination must be, quote, adequate. That's from this court's decision in Brown.
But what renders it inadequate, as I understand your argument, is that he's clearly wrong.
Not only is he clearly wrong, Your Honor, he just simply did not consider the evidence that he's entitled to.
What basis do you say he didn't consider the evidence? Did he not have the claims file?
He did have the claims file, Your Honor, but he did not state he reviewed any of the statements I've gone through that provides a
serious... Isn't there a presumption of regularity associated with the doctor's review of that claims file?
I don't think so, Your Honor. Under this court's decision in Nieves-Rodriguez, quote, it is the factually accurate, fully articulated, sound reasoning for the conclusion, not the mere fact that the claims file was reviewed that contributes to the probative value of a medical opinion.
That's correct, but that's not the issue you were presenting. You were presenting that this doctor was clearly erroneous in his medical determination, that there was no relation between PTSD and the in his aggravation of alcohol.
Yes, Your Honor, because you provided absolutely...
But now you're saying that the medical opinion must rest on its statement and analysis.
Your Honor,
that's two different things. I mean, you still have a presumption that doctors are competent unless demonstrated otherwise. And the competency of a doctor, in this case, had the whole claims file and he reviewed it. You're trying to tell us that he didn't review it. That's a lot different than saying his statement isn't understandable.
His statement is understandable, but it is wholly unreasoned. And under this court's decision in Nieves-Rodriguez, as well as Barr, it must provide reasons for where he came to that conclusion, especially where, as here, there is obviously evidence in the record that is contrary to what he said. And that goes back to this court's decision in 1999 in Gilbert versus Derwinski. When there is contrary evidence in the record that supports the veteran's claim, that record must be addressed. Here it was not addressed. Rather, here the VA examiner purportedly went through a 1,700-page record before the agency, came to a two-page conclusion, provided no indication of any of the evidence contrary in the record, and simply came to the conclusion that there was no relationship between PTSD and alcohol abuse. And for me, I believe that is inadequate, clearly erroneous, and cannot be supported by the record.
So if he had specifically said, I reviewed these statements from this individual, the three or four that you cited, and then rendered his conclusion that there's no medical, and it said there's just no medical opinion supporting it, then that would be okay?
The secretary would be on stronger ground. However, according to 38 CFR 3.304F, PTSD can be established by lay testimony.
He's got PTSD, doesn't he?
Yes, Your Honor, but it would be, I think, counterintuitive, to say the least, to think that PTSD can be established by lay testimony, but aggravation through alcohol abuse could not. For example, there's not a blood test that would tell you that his PTSD aggravated his alcohol abuse. It's going to be based, in most scenarios, on, for example, lay testimony. And here we have precise examples in the record of that lay testimony. And on top of that, that type of lay testimony under 3.304F, as well as 38 USC 5107B, which is lay testimony, is particularly acceptable, is enough to establish aggravation here under Allen. And the board simply did not acknowledge any of that, did not look at any of that, and did not closely address that. And why didn't it do that? It's because the most probative evidence in this case is the VA examiner's opinion. But as we've seen, that examiner's opinion just does not address the issues at the heart of this case. It's a two-page opinion based on the review of a 1,700-plus page record, and it just doesn't address all the issues in the record that tie together PTSD with alcohol abuse.
Let me follow up on the chief's question with regard to the applicability of Allen here. Allen's not a death case. Cause of death in the VA regulations is covered under 3.312. Would you please relate to me the relevance of the aggravation standard to the standard set forth in 3.312?
Yes, Judge Martin. 3.312A states, the death of a veteran will be considered as having been due to a service-connected disability when the evidence establishes that such disability was either the principal or a contributory cause of death. And here, frankly, that regulation is a bit vague, but I believe it could be read in two ways, both of which support Ms. Elamine. The first way is that PTSD is a service-connected disability that contributed to the alcohol abuse, which in turn contributed to the cirrhosis.
And then if you would, please, if you'd go to the request for the medical exam at record 95. Would you please point me to the places in that request for the medical exam where the RO asked for an opinion with regard to contribution to the cause of death?
Yes, Your Honor. There are two questions in the requested opinion. The first asks, please indicate if the veteran's alcohol abuse was related to the veteran's PTSD or if the veteran's alcohol abuse was a separate unrelated disability. Second, if the veteran's alcohol abuse is found to be related to the PTSD, did it contribute to the veteran's death noted on the death certificate as hepatic cirrhosis?
Now, what is your position with regard to whether or not the two paragraphs or the two sentences that you just read me raises for the medical examiner the issue of contribution?
Contribution is clearly raised under the second issue, Your Honor, and that's an issue that the medical examiner did not opine on because the medical examiner concluded that Mrs. Allen couldn't cross the first threshold, that alcohol abuse wasn't related to the PTSD. And I believe that's on record page 93. Therefore, requested opinion number two regarding whether the veteran's alcohol abuse in fact caused his hepatic cirrhosis is irrelevant. And there again, the veteran's examiner conflated causation with contribution.
I was going to ask you about that. Does 3.312 require causation?
No, not at all, Your Honor. It has a fairly lax standard under contributory cause of death. This is 3.312C1. Contributory cause of death is, quote, inherently one not related to the principal cause, and then in determining whether something is a contributory cause of death, quote, it must be shown that it contributed substantially or materially, semicolon, that it combined to cause death, semicolon, or that it aided or lent assistance to the production of death. Now, it does go on to say that there needs to be a causal connection. That is absolutely clear. But then, Judge Mormon, it defines causal connection in broad terms, including that it aided or lent assistance to the production of death. And so here I think 3.312 would be clearly satisfied. I am unsure, frankly, whether the Secretary would contest that alcohol abuse contributed to the cirrhosis which caused his death. If there are no further questions, I will.
I just want to follow up on the one. So, in this doctor's opinion, he never got to the second one because he found that it was unrelated. And I think, as I understand your argument or one of your predecessor counsel's argument, unrelated was not broad enough to cover whether or not it was caused or aggravated. Unrelated was only focused on, in your previous counsel's briefing, whether or not it was caused. And the argument was that it didn't cover aggravated. How does a sentence that is unrelated not cover even an aggravation?
Chief Judge Kessler, I concede that it does. If the Veterans Examiner actually addressed whether alcohol abuse and PTSD were wholly unrelated, I think it must be conceded fairly envelop aggravation. However, there are numerous places in the VA Examiner's opinion where it's quite clear that he conflated something being unrelated with causation and didn't address aggravation. He states at the start of the report, quote, that the examiner is asked to provide an opinion regarding the cause of death for a deceased veteran. He, quote, found no mental health provider that offered the opinion that the veteran's alcohol dependence or abuse was caused by his post-traumatic stress disorder. And then he concluded that there is no confirmatory or supportive evidence that the veteran's PTSD caused his alcohol abuse. And I think that's wrong for the record citations I've mentioned previously, but it does indicate that the overwhelming focus here on the VA examiner's opinion was...
But your first sentence was really a focus on cause of death, which is correct, because it has to be a cause of death here.
Yes, right,
so that is correct. That was so correct. Then the second one, doesn't his sentence break it into both, though? One is caused, I agree, causes alcohol abuse, but then he has the conversely. More likely than not that the alcohol abuse is related to factors other than the veteran's post-traumatic stress disorder, which says there's no relation.
Your Honor.
And then, just to fill up, and then you go back again to your basic that he's just plain wrong on that.
Two responses to that, Your Honor. First, I think the VA examiner misunderstood the meaning of related to. He said conversely, but the converse of causation is not unrelated to. For example, alcohol abuse can be related to PTSD, even if PTSD did not cause the alcohol abuse.
Right. Don't you have the opposite side of that argument, that he understood that they were looking for any kind of relation and therefore not related and not caused?
Your Honor, respectfully, I think he was looking toward causation and not just aggravation. I see my time is about to run, but I'm more than happy to answer any questions.
We can come back unless somebody else has any. Thank you very much.
May it please the court. The secretary respectfully requests that this court deny appellant's motion for reconsideration and uphold its May 17, 2012 memorandum decision affirming the instant board decision. This court has already considered appellant's contention that the 2008 psychologist's opinion was inadequate and held that her argument was unsupported by the record. Importantly, appellant has failed to address in her pleadings the fact that the PTSD and the alcohol abuse are unrelated disabilities, as the 2008 psychologist opined. Additionally, appellant has failed to point to any medical evidence or record contradicting the 2008 psychologist opinion.
Let me ask you a question, just stop you right there. With regard to Secretary's Regulation 3.312 sub C, contributory cause of death sub 1, the Secretary makes this statement. Contributory cause of death is inherently one not related to the principal cause.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
However, the theory in this case, the theory of entitlement, is that the PTSD caused the alcohol, or PTSD aggravated the alcohol abuse, which led to his death. Here, we have a break in that chain where the alcohol abuse, the cause of death is not connected to a service-connected disability because of the PTSD not being related to the alcohol abuse.
All right, let me turn you to page 95 in the record with regard to the request for this medical opinion. And go down to the note to the examiner. In your response, please, I'm quoting, identify the specific evidence you reviewed and considered in forming your opinion. That's number one. And number two, please provide a rationale for the opinion presented. And number three, state your conclusions using one of the following legally recognized phrases. And then, if you would, point to me within those legally recognized phrases any that refers to something other than causation.
Yes, Your Honor. It looks like the examiner went beyond what was asked here and did note that the PTSD did not cause alcohol abuse, and then added to that that it was more likely than not that the PTSD, that the alcohol abuse was related to other factors, factors other than the PTSD. And I would also add that there's no reasons or basis requirement for the examiner, and to the extent...
So there's no choice here that he's given to address contributing cause or substantially and materially contributed to the death, is there?
No, Your Honor. However, the...
I mean, he is given the option, to be fair, he is given the option that he can resolve that without resort to mere speculation, he can't give an opinion.
Yes, Your Honor. And however, the examiner never reached the second part because there was no relationship between the PTSD and the alcohol abuse.
Well, yeah, but the Secretary's regulation says contributory cause of death is inherently one not related to the principal cause. How do you reconcile that?
Yes, Your Honor. Although it's not the primary cause of death, it would still need to be related to a service-connected disability in order for entitlement to service connection for the cause of death to be warranted. Here, there's no relationship between the cause of death and a service-connected disability. As a result, appellant has failed to demonstrate that this court has misunderstood or overlooked a point of fact or law in its memorandum decision.
How are we to conclude that the medical examiner's use of relationship language adequately addresses the standard that is set for whether or not something contributes to death? When the standard is substantially and materially contributes to the death, and it's something that the Secretary says is unrelated to the cause of death. Isn't the use of this relationship language in this context ambiguous at best?
No, I would respectfully disagree, Your Honor. I don't think we reach the question of cause of death because we don't have a connection between the service-connected disability and the alcohol abuse. So we never reach the question as to whether it contributed substantially.
But the medical examiner wasn't asked for that by the RO. The medical examiner was asked by the RO, state one of the following. Is caused by or the result of, is most likely caused by or the result of, is at least as likely caused by or the result of, is less likely caused by or the result of, is not caused by the result of, or the result of. The focus of the request is on causation. The focus of the report, it seems to me, is on causation. And the issue is not causation. Reconcile that for me.
Yes, Your Honor. I would respectfully disagree. Prior to the note to the examiner was specifically asked to provide an opinion as to whether the alcohol abuse and PTSD were related or whether there are separate unrelated disabilities. If the veteran's alcohol abuse is found to be related to his PTSD, the examiner was asked to provide an opinion as to whether it contributed to the veteran's death, noted on the death certificate as hepatic cirrhosis. So I would respectfully disagree that the thrust of the medical request was not for causation to death. It was whether the death was related to a service-connected disability.
So even if alcoholism had been a cause of death, if it's not service-connected, you still don't get benefits?
Yes, Your Honor. If there are no further questions, the Secretary...
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Appellant's counsel indicated that he did not believe the Secretary would contest that alcoholism or abuse of alcohol and perhaps drugs was the cause of the appellant's death. Is that a correct statement? Regardless of whether it's service-connected.
Your Honor, I'm not in a position to concede that point. However, the board does recognize evidence connecting the hepatic cirrhosis and the alcohol abuse. So there is at least prima facie a link there.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, I do have one other question.
Yes, Your Honor.
A lot has been said here about the validity of the doctor's opinion or the psychologist's opinion. Are we supposed to be reviewing that?
Your Honor, the board
is... Are we supposed to be reviewing the board decision?
You're supposed to be reviewing the board decision, Your Honor. Respectfully.
What's the Secretary's position with regard to the reliance of the board on medical evidence? let me try to rephrase that.
Yes, sir.
What did the board, in making its decision, rely on anything else rather than the psychologist's opinion, which is being discussed here or has been discussed here?
Yes, Your Honor. The board.
What was that?
May I have a moment to?
Sure.
Your Honor, on page 10 of the record, the board cites the VA treatment records, and the board also considers appellant's lay statements that the alcohol abuse was aggravated by the PTSD, or that there is a connection there. The board relied on that evidence in rendering its decision, in addition to the psychologist's opinion.
Okay, thank you.
And, Your Honor, I also want to note that the death certificate notes the primary cause of death as hepatic cirrhosis, and there's no indication from the death certificate that is linked or connected to any service-connected disability in this case. If there are no further questions.
Well, that's a given, though, with regard to 3.312, isn't it? I mean, it's got to be unconnected before you start looking at other contributing factors.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I take you back to that same language. Contributory cause of death is inherently one not related to the principal cause. So, you know, when you say that there's no indication that the cirrhosis was service-connected, I mean, that's a necessary predicate to even looking at the possibility that there are other contributory causes that are service-connected that should lead to an award of benefits.
Yes, Your Honor. However, there's no indication. The only medical evidence of record states that there's no relationship between the PTSD and the alcohol abuse.
Well, what does that mean, no relationship?
Your Honor, that Merriam-Webster broadly defines relationship as a connection. So here there would be no connection between PTSD and alcohol abuse.
How does relationship relate to substantially or materially contributed?
Your Honor, it doesn't, but the first step here is to determine whether there's a connection between the PTSD and the alcohol abuse, and that needs to be established before we reach the second question as to whether the alcohol abuse contributed substantially or materially to the veteran's cause of death.
Well, don't you think it would have been better if the RO had said to the doctor, you know, we're concerned about two things here. We're concerned about a direct connection. We're concerned about contributory causes. And with regard to contributory causes, you know, you ought to answer the question as to whether or not PTSD substantially and materially contributed to the abuse of alcohol, and whether or not that contributed to the development of cirrhosis, which caused this veteran's death, instead of this summary fashion that we got in the referral. Wouldn't that have been better?
Your Honor, to the extent that the RO didn't use the words in their request for substantially and materially, and to the extent that the court finds that to be error, we still don't have a relationship between the cause of death and a service-connected disability.
But do we have an adequate medical exam?
Yes, Your Honor, we do.
Even though the doctor was requested to answer questions with regard to causation only?
I would respectfully disagree, Your Honor. The doctor was first asked whether there was a connection between the service-connected disability and the alcohol abuse. And then the second question was, and if I may paraphrase, if there is a connection between the PTSD and the alcohol abuse, then to provide an opinion as to the cause of death. So here there's a break in the chain between the service-connected disability and the cause of death.
But where in the instructions to the doctor does it say everything that you just paraphrased? The doctor is given this note to examiner, or the examiner rather, in this case not a doctor, that says, state your conclusions using one of the following legally recognized phrases. And they're all stated in terms of causation.
Yes, Your Honor. But prior to that, under the requested opinion, he was asked to provide Please indicate that the veteran's alcohol abuse was related to the veteran's PTSD. That's determinative in this case, because without a link there...
Is the first instruction to him less determinative? Identify the specific evidence you reviewed?
Your Honor, they did note the evidence that the psychologist reviewed here. I noted that it was based upon the evidence of record in the claims folder, the VA examination reports. The examiner also noted the other conditions that the veteran had at the time of his death. And it was based on that data, that the examiner reached the conclusion that, one, the PTSD did not cause the alcohol abuse, and two, that the alcohol abuse was related to factors other than the post-traumatic stress disorder. And I believe the examiner proceeded to explain that the second opinion, part of the opinion, was not necessary because, if I may read it on page 93 of the record, therefore, requested opinion number two regarding the veteran's alcohol abuse in fact causes hepatic cirrhosis is irrelevant. To the extent the examiner said cause and not contributed substantially and materially, that's not determinative here because the fact remains there's no link, there's no connection, there's no relationship between the hepatic cirrhosis and the service-connected disability.
But what the medical examiner here is saying, in both of those paragraphs, he says, alcohol dependence or abuse, the veteran's alcohol or dependence or abuse was caused by, I didn't read the introduction. There's no evidence that it was caused by his post-traumatic stress disorder. Then in the second paragraph it says, it is this examiner's conclusion that there is no confirmatory or supportive evidence that the veteran's post-traumatic stress disorder caused his alcohol abuse. And it's not, at least as likely as not, that the veteran's PTSD caused his alcohol abuse. And then we have this sentence that starts with conversely. Well, what's the converse of caused? It's not, didn't substantially contribute, I don't think. And so everything that the ME is saying here is cause, cause, cause. Everything that he was asked was cause, cause, cause. And I have a real problem with getting over to where you are with regard to concluding that he must have been addressing this other part of the standard.
Your Honor, at the beginning of the medical opinion, the examiner reiterates that he was asked, that he was asked whether the PTSD and the alcohol abuse were related. The examiner also noted the other conditions that the veteran had at the time of his death. And, Your Honor, I would also submit...
Well, actually, the first sentence that he has is, this is an opinion-only request. The examiner is asked to provide an opinion regarding the cause of death of the deceased veteran.
Yes, Your Honor, at the fourth paragraph, Form 2507 asks the examiner to opine whether the veteran's alcohol abuse was related to his post-traumatic stress disorder. And I would submit that's necessary before we get to a 3.312 analysis as to contributory, substantial or contributory cause of death. We have a break in that link. And, Your Honor, I would also submit that...
Can I just jump in for a second?
Yes, Your Honor.
You said it's necessary, but couldn't it have been done by a medical review as to whether or not the alcohol did cause the hepatic cirrhosis? And if the determination was that it did not, if that was the case, you then would not have to go to the other step. In other words, you could have done it either way, could you have not? There's no relation to PTSD, the only service-connected, therefore the drinking is not service-connected. Or you could have said, but alcohol didn't cover it, so whether it's service-connected or not doesn't matter.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
just want to make sure.
If there are no further questions, the Secretary would respectfully request that this Court deny appellant's motion for reconsideration and uphold its May 17th, 2012 memorandum decision. Thank you.
Mr. Tortero, you have 10 minutes.
Your Honors. Two short points in rebuttal, Your Honor. First, Judge Hagel asked whether we're reviewing the doctor's opinion or the board decision. We are absolutely reviewing the board decision. But here, on page 10 of the board decision, it made clear that the most, quote, probative evidence of the link between PTSD and alcohol abuse was the medical examiner's opinion. Counsel for the secretary was then asked whether the board reviewed any other evidence. And the secretary's counsel stated, yes, the appellant's lay statements. But the appellant here is Mrs. Elamine, not Mr. Elamine. Mr. Elamine is deceased. And that is a clear indication that the board did not review the statements on pages 978 to 979 of the record and page 860 of the record, where Mr. Elamine very clearly tied in a causative fashion and in, at a minimum in an aggravation fashion the connection between PTSD and alcohol abuse. In this court's decision in Barr, one of the reasons why the court remanded on page 311, quote, we note that the VA examiner did not indicate whether he considered Mr. Barr's assertions of continued symptomatology. And here that's a clear indication, consistent with 38 U.S.C. 5107B, that lay evidence, not lay hypothesizing as the secretary has asserted, is perfectly fine to consider when reviewing aggravation. To be fair, the board decision also reviewed on page 8 the evidence of Mr. Elamine's increased alcohol abuse. But that increased alcohol abuse further supports Mr. Elamine, not the secretary, because here you have his initial PTSD diagnosis in 1989, and that increased through the years, 50% to in 1995, and then eventually 70%. And that increase in PTSD was strongly correlated to an increase in his level of drinking. So, for example, most of the references to rehabilitation for Mr. Elamine on page 8 of the board's decision refer to events that occurred after 1989, after the diagnosis of PTSD, culminating in a 2002 reference.
Doesn't that go back to what you opened with, that this doctor is clearly erroneous, or this doctor was incompetent because he didn't review the record, or this doctor made mistakes? I mean, it ultimately comes back to that. You have a board decision. The board can't substitute its own judgment for a doctor's opinion. You've admitted that the doctor said it wasn't related. So if it's not related, but he's wrong. And so your point keeps coming back to the doctor somehow or another ignored what you're citing to us with regard to these statements, and he's wrong. And that's what you're kind of, that's what you're telling us.
With respect, Your Honor, I do not think it's at all clear that when the doctor said not related to, he said that was the converse of causation, as Judge Mormon pointed out. He did not refer to whether that is aggravation or something below causation, which is all that is necessary to establish benefits entitlements in this case.
Well, that wouldn't be quite. I mean, even if you established that there was some aggravation here, let's accept that just for a second, you still have to go to the next step, which is that it was a contributory cause.
Your Honor, we would invite a remand where the examination is whether cirrhosis was caused by alcohol abuse. And the second point, back to Judge Mormon's point, we believe this case can be viewed through two lenses. First, the Allen lens of aggravation, which I described earlier, and also 3.32C, which is talking about contributory cause of death. And here again, to address whether the service-connected disability contributed to death, here, that is uncontested that one of the service-connected disabilities is PTSD, it must be shown that that PTSD either contributed substantially or materially, that it combined to cause death, or that it aided or lent assistance to the production of death. And if the PTSD aided or lent assistance to Mr. Elamine's alcohol abuse, which again, the VA examiner did not opine on, and the board did not opine on either, because it viewed the VA examiner's opinion as mostly dispositive, then Mrs. Elamine is entitled to benefits.
So wait a minute. Are you suggesting now or arguing now that PTSD was the cause of death, and that that issue was not properly addressed below? Because I don't see that in any of the briefing before here, before you raise this now.
No, Your Honor, but PTSD would be a contributory cause of death if it aided or lent to the alcohol abuse. Which
you still have to have the connection between the PTSD and the alcohol.
There has to be some connection,
okay,
Your Honor.
So it's not just PTSD. Okay.
Correct, Your Honor. And that connection is far below the level of causation, which is what the VA examiner addressed solely, we believe, and which is what the board decision relied on. And in this respect, the board decision and the VA examiner's decision are one and the same. If there are no further questions.
I don't think he gave us time to think. But if there are none, thank you very much. This case will be submitted.
Thank you,
down and recounsel.
All right.